The Electric Circus. Insert coin. Thank you. Press start.
That's right, The Electric Circus, the totally geek-tastic podcast devoted to news, reviews, rants, and raves on your favorite stuff, games, gear, cons, cosplay, and more. And here's the ringmasters for today's circus, Ray Gun and Uber Nerd 527. So let's go down to the center ring. The show's about to begin.
Hey, arcaders, remember me? It's Ray, a.k.a. Ray Gun, here with the episode, what are we up to?
We are up to 23 now.
23 of...
Wow.
After 5-6 years of the Electric Circus podcast, welcome everybody to the podcast. We have a Nintendo-tastic podcast today. Very exciting stuff that we will be talking about. But welcome to the Electric Circus podcast. Let's get this thing started, though, with a little bit of site news.
Site news? Well, Ray, they don't know who we are yet.
We are the Electric Circus
podcast. They don't know who we are individually.
Oh, wait a minute. We've been on the air for 6 years and nobody knows who the heck we are? Oh, let's see. Well, I'm Ray. Hello. Next to me is Josh.
Hello.
And across the interwebs and around the corner is Danny. Hello, Danny.
Hey, guys. Hello, Arcaders. It's good to be back.
That's right, buddy. We have a lot of Nintendo-tastic stuff to talk about today. Okay. But before we get started with all that, we're going to get serious with a little site news. You guys ready?
We're ready for some site news.
Site news.
Site news.
This is Spiffy, 8-Bit Clown, and this is your site news!
Okay, this is really exciting. You know, everybody, of course, knows about our 10th anniversary by this point, but a couple of things came up this past week that I really had to pass along to everybody out there. The first thing is, believe it or not, our humble little 23-episode podcast is on iHeartRadio.
Woohoo!
Wow. Oh my God.
I could not believe it.
This is a big deal.
It is a very big deal. I was shocked. One of the internet radio stations I listen to happens to be on iHeartRadio. And one day I was curious, because now they do podcasting, and I typed in ours, and it came up. And perfect. Now it's saved on my iHeartRadio account, which I was just floored. But the other one may even top that. Because, folks, if you have an Alexa, you can now say, Alexa, please play the Arcade Archives Electric Circus podcast. And it will play on your Alexa.
Woo!
I don't know what's happened since we hit the 10-year mark, but it's been really weird. Like, you come up on Google now, it's not just the Arcade Archives. It actually breaks down, like, every part of the site now. So, like, we're really gaining some momentum, finally. And I'm pretty excited. And especially now that there are two other ways to listen to us. And I will be putting up an ad on the site, probably this week coming up, to indicate that, so everybody knows. But pretty exciting stuff, don't you think?
I think it's very exciting. I can't wait to, because we're not only now are we on Apple Podcasts,
right,
and we're on Anchor,
right,
and we're on Spotify,
yep,
and we're on a bunch of other
all kinds of
podcasters now.
Yeah,
So now you can find us on Alexa. You can find us on. You can find us on iHeartRadio and all kinds of stuff, so you guys can listen to us wherever you are. Heck, you can even go to the sites.
We are everywhere, so get your shots.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was our site news. I was just real excited. It dawned on me. I said, I better say something on the podcast so everybody knows. So let's jump into our first part of our Nintendastic podcast about the event that happened roughly an hour and a half ago.
That's right. As of the recording of this podcast, The new Nintendo Direct just finally dropped!
Like a year! It's been a year since this thing... Yeah, so everybody was very excited. And I think they delivered. I was expecting some hardware stuff, some rumors in the pipeline. That didn't happen. I was also expecting that the 40th year of Donkey Kong is coming up, that they would say something about that. But I think this was more about the software, because people are interested in knowing what's coming out, especially given the state of the world. They really need to know that, you know, that things are getting back to normal as far as video games are concerned. And I think they delivered on that level.
Yeah, I think so.
So I'm going to leave it to you guys with the first one.
Okay, so the very first thing that they announced, I thought it was really weird. For those of you who haven't heard of this game before, there's a game called Xenoblade that's kind of gaining a little bit of momentum on Nintendo systems. It is a Nintendo exclusive game. The first game came out for the Wii.
I think you're right.
And the second game came out for the Switch, but like they did so many versions of that first game, including one that came out for the 3DS.
Yeah, I remember
that was like
that
a
too.
Very
yes, they did.
A very crammed version of the Wii version. Anyways,
yeah.
So the sequel came out for the Switch. It actually gained a very good following. So there was the very first thing that they showed was what looked like to be a sequel to Xenoblade 2.
Yeah.
But they completely faked us out. It was announcing that Pyra, one of the main characters in Xenoblade, and her alter ego Mithra are going to be in Smash. So they're going to be a transition character, very much like Zelda and Sheik, or Samus and Zero Suit Samus, or Pokemon Trainer. So you'll be able to turn into either alter ego, and they both have different fighting styles depending on which character you're playing. So that's pretty cool. I was actually the video for it's pretty cool. Poor Link gets his butt kicked though. Oh, poor Link. Very exciting that we got another Smash character. I was expecting a little bit more about maybe another character.
In other news, sadly, yet again, no Stanley Bugman in Smash Brothers. Come on, Nintendo, you own him. For crying out loud. Go ahead.
So, anyways, so that's really cool. You know, I'm not a huge fan of it. I've played it. It was an arcade game. I kind of am getting out of RPGs. My RPG phase. I think it's because I'm older and I don't have like hours and hours to.
You're old?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, man, you're
an old. Back in my day.
Back in my day, you only had 151 Pokemon. I really liked it.
We had to walk through the snow to get them. Both ways with no shoes on.
Mind, David, we played the original Dragon Warrior.
That's right. In the 8-bit system.
We got that sweat all day long just to get one up to level my character up.
Yeah.
And no shaders either.
So yeah, it's a great game. It's beautiful, beautiful looking game. Just it wasn't all that, you know.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get through it. But anyways. Yeah. Yeah. Let's move on to our next topic. This is one I think we're all very excited about.
I was floored when I saw this.
So, celebrating the 35th anniversary of Super Mario Brothers, we have a brand new Mario game. This time it is Mario Golf Super Rush. And this is going to be coming out on June 25th. Just real quick, guys. How do you guys like Mario Golf games? I like the one for the GameCube, but I think that's the last one I played.
That is the last one I played, too. I enjoyed it. As a golf game, it was... I think Mario Golf is really what set the standard for sports games on Nintendo systems. Well, you know, fight me if you think I'm wrong, but before that, you had all the 8-bit variants of baseball and things like that, but Mario Golf really kind of brought this Nintendo sports theme to the forefront. If it wasn't for that, you wouldn't have had the Mario Strikers and the baseball and the,
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Now, that's a game that needs to make a comeback. The Mario Strikers. Again, I'm a big soccer guy. One of the few sports that I knew how to play. Kind of know how to play.
Yeah.
So I hear you. Sports games on Nintendo systems, there's a certain type of style and certain type of gameplay that seems to work best with them.
Yep.
And it's something that EA and their stereotypical sports games that just seem to, it doesn't seem to hit that sort of hook, or it doesn't seem to hit that sort of, I don't recall it, like hook or spark or something.
I think you're right.
Mario sports games is able to do on a,
right.
a dime.
Well, there's because they rely on reality. They're more about the teams and the leagues and this and that. Whereas Nintendo had to find a hook. And, you had tennis before that, and then you had golf, and then, you had strikers, and you had the baseball, which, what was it, Sluggers? I loved Sluggers, though. That was such a fun game. But this golf one looks really good. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you know?
So it pretty much is going to be playing like a regular Mario Golf game.
Right.
I didn't see any obstacles or like any mushroom things like other Mario Golf
right.
has.
Right.
Although that doesn't technically mean that this is really early. This thing is just announced.
Yeah.
So it's really early. They could probably announce this stuff. But the main hook to this game.
Yeah.
They added a few more features where you can actually see a little bit better
right.
How to do your shots and whatnot. So
right.
I think those are pretty cool. But the main hook of this game is going to be what they call speed ball.
Rush mode.
Rush mode. Okay, rush mode. So rush mode is a mode where essentially four people play at the same time, the same round of golf, and they have to, like, once they hit their ball, they have to run towards it wherever it lands, and then they have to hit it again. And
it's everybody at once.
Yeah, it's everybody at once.
Yes.
And there's going to be power-ups, and there's going to be...
it's online, too.
Yeah, so online multiplayer.
Multiplayer online, I think that's really cool.
On top of that, they're going to have motion controls, so harking back to our old Wii days.
Yep.
And also a story mode where you can actually play your own Wii, your own Mii character.
Right.
And... level up your stats, so you can actually level up just like in the original Game Boy Color game. Anyone remember that
one?
Yeah,
I remember
Ooh,
that too.
Gosh.
Nice.
Sorry. So that is Mario Golf Super Rush. Again, it's going to be out in June, and I'm very excited about that.
I'm very excited about seeing the YouTube videos of people throwing their remotes at the screen again, a la 2006. I think that's going to be hilarious. I'm going to love that with the 4K televisions now. So that'll be fun. I'm really excited about that one.
Yeah, Danny, what's your thoughts on it?
Well, hey, yeah, the modern sports game, even if you're not a fan of the sport that's being used, there's something about the modern sports games, any sport, really, that is going to hook you in. So, honestly, I say, as long as they do it right, which they always have been pretty good at doing, I say, the sky's the limit. Go for it.
Absolutely. Mario Bowling, starring Stanley Bugman. Make it happen, Nintendo.
All right, let's move on to another game. I think probably this made, out of all the games that were announced, I think this is probably what made Ray one of the most exciting games. So this is Capcom Arcade Stadium.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about this, Ray.
Well, this is something I actually learned about today. I knew nothing about it until the ad. Basically, you're going to download the front end, if you will, for free. Okay? It's going to include 1943, which out of the series is one of the better of the 1940XX series shooters. And then they're going to supply packs that you will purchase to use on said front end. Excited about it. Hope they do it the right way. Capcom has been infamous the last few years. They did something very similar on the Xbox 360. And the problem was you only got two games for like $20. and then you had to buy more for $20 every two pack. So I'm hoping they do this right with adding a few more games to each pack, making it worth your while, considering that you can go on to their arcade archives, not us, version on the Switch and download games for $7 a piece. So really, to me, is the price point. But the games, they're really hitting the history pretty hard. Because, I mean, they're going back to the beginning. You're going to be able to download Vulgus, which was actually their very first game. It was the very first shooter they did. 1942, which was the second one, and all the way up. So they're really hitting home with all the old, really old school Capcom games. Cool. Plus the side-scrollers, plus the fighters. You're going to be able to download them all and put it on your Switch. So that's really exciting. I hope that they do it right. And like I said, price point is key. It has to be worth the money. So that one I'm excited about. Yeah.
And Ray got the feels when he saw the trailer because it was in a 1980s style.
Oh, yeah.
Scan lines.
They also showed, you know these compilations where they're showing you history. It's not just the games. They're showing you videos of, you know, the game being designed and maybe giving you some artwork and sketches. And then, you know, they were showing all that. So if they add that, you've got me hooked. Because that harkens back to the Namco Museum series.
Oh, wow.
Where they did the same thing on the PlayStation. So if they do that, they got me. I'll spend the money. But yeah, that's the Capcom Arcade Stadium series. I'm pretty excited about that.
Any final thoughts on this there, Danny?
Well, I'm actually glad that they're coming out with more compilations. Now, personally, I would kind of prefer them to also release these individually via Nintendo's Arcade Archives. Because I really do like the stuff they put out. It's just brief. I mean, I don't know if you guys have been keeping track. I don't know if you guys know of all the Arcade Archives games that I've downloaded so far, but from the Donkey Kong trilogy to Mario Brothers to, you know, even Super Burger Time and the original Burger Time, of course.
Yep.
It's amazing how well replicated how well they were able to replicate everything down to the last detail. And my favorite part is just the fact that you have the option of giving it those scan lines and, you know, features.
Well, so they're really going to have that
sort of grainy look.
Yeah.
And I know some people go, why did you want to do that? Why did you want that? And I'm like, the same reason my dad plays his LPs with the 33s and 45s on his turntable.
Right.
There's just something about hearing those vintage sounds or in this case, the vintage look that just really harkens back to something in your childhood. And I really like to do that. So personally, and like Ray, like you said best, the price point is key. If if they're able to get a good balanced price, people will flock to it in droves.
Yep.
But I'm still hoping that they put out, I would like them to put out still all the 1940s schmucks.
Yeah,
because
they're all on there.
I remember go ahead.
They're all on there. Here's the thing. This is what you're going to be able to do. You're going to download the software, the front-end software, for free. Okay? It will include 1943 free of charge. So you're going to be able to play that anytime you want to, free of charge. So basically, you are getting a free game, which is great. But then they're going, like you said, price point and how many games for that price point. That's the key. That's going to be it.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Yes. So, next is one that I'm excited about because this is a very obscure Xbox title, believe it or not.
Original Xbox.
That original Xbox that is extremely rare and fetches quite a bit of money on eBay right now. And that is Stubbs the Zombie. When they showed that, I about flipped. Because I have been searching for years for a copy of Stubbs the Zombie for my Xbox and have not found one. Now I don't need to. So if you've never played this game, it takes your typical zombie shooter and flips it on its head.
Really?
Because you are the zombie.
Wow.
Yeah. So you are the zombie, you are killed, you are murdered, and you come back from the dead to avenge your death. And you get to infect people who then follow you to your goal. That's the game. I played it once. I loved it because I like that style of game. And taking the idea of me being the zombie instead of having to shoot them was very interesting for its time. And I'm shocked that it really... I don't know that it had a sequel. I'll have to look that up. But you can't even find it. Like, every time I go online or I try to go to a gaming store, you can't find a copy. And if you do, it's going for a lot of money. So the fact that it went on the Switch, like, it didn't even hit Xbox One or anything. It just went to the Switch. I'm wow. Like, what? Now, maybe it did. I don't know, because I don't follow. I don't have a brand new Xbox anymore, so I don't know. But the idea that it went to Switch and it was an Xbox exclusive, like before Rare, before anything, this was an original Xbox game, you know? So I'm pretty stoked for Stubbs the Zombie. And that comes out very soon. I think it comes out in March.
Yeah.
So I'll be picking that one up. And if you're into... retro future-looking stuff. The setting it's in is very 50s inspired sci-fi looking. You interact with hovering robots and all kinds of crazy stuff. And it's a fun game. So I highly recommend it. If you're looking for something different, it'll definitely get you. It's a fun game to play.
It'll definitely get you like it'll a get zombie. You.
It'll bite you. It'll infect you. And then you're going to follow it around and fight other people. And that's what you do. So, yeah, that's Stubbs the Zombie. So I'm pretty excited about that one. But I'm going to leave the next couple up to you guys.
Okay.
All right.
So the next couple of them, we have two Zelda announcements. So the... I don't know what his job title is exactly, but the leader of basically the Legend of Zelda series...
Right.
Came on, and he's like... So we're very sorry, guys, but we don't have any news about Breath of the Wild 2.
Right.
We're very, very sorry about that, but we promise that we will have some news soon.
Yep.
Great. All right. Until then, they announced two things. First, something I'm very excited about. They announced a expansion pass for Hyrule Warriors: Age of Calamity, which is going to be really cool, and they're going to have two. Release dates, one in the summer, one in the fall, just kind of like what they did with Pokemon.
Right.
With the DLC for that. That's going to add in some new characters, some new game modes. Mm-hmm. No story modes as of right now, as of the
way we know it.
But I don't know. But I still haven't beaten it yet. I'm on the last level. So I still haven't beaten it yet.
Will we be seeing that on Sunday Night Streaming?
Yes!
Yay!
We'll be seeing that on Sunday Night Streaming. We'll talk about
that plug
near the end.
Plug, where's my money?
So yeah, very excited about that. And then the next one, I think definitely, Danny, you and I are going to be talking about this for a moment. They're re-releasing The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword
for the
Switch.
That was a surprise.
Yes.
I didn't expect that.
It's going to come out on July 16th. This is actually really interesting of an announcement because this is the 35th anniversary of The Legend of Zelda this year.
Yes.
Wow. And they're originally, when Skyward Sword was released, it was released as part of the 20th anniversary of The Legend of Zelda.
Yes.
So they're re-releasing it. At first, I was actually kind of not excited about it. Because I love the game. It's a great, it looks good. The story is really good. The biggest problem with that game was the really, really dumb motion controls.
Yes.
And when they first were talking about it, they said that they're adding those motion controls into the game, although the controls are a little bit more improved thanks to the Switch, because the Switch is a little bit more accurate than the
right.
Wii was.
Right.
However, there's a lot of people that did not like that, including myself. So then they said, but don't worry, if you don't want motion controls, you can play the game normally with regular buttons. And I was like, thank you. You have my money.
Yep. You have it all.
Thank you, Nintendo. And they also announced, along with that, brand new special edition Legend of Zelda Joy-Cons.
Oh, yes, I heard about that.
Yeah, brand new Legend of Zelda Joy-Cons that will be coming out as well with the Skyward Sword. They're beautiful. They're beautiful. I may have to pick that up if I can.
another $65. I'm not ready
to. Because those controllers look dang good. What do you think about this, Danny?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really big deal. Now, granted, I made it a point to not have too many Joy-Cons. I mean, I've only had to get two more, only to replace the other ones that fell because they broke. Again, I had dropped them on accident. Again, consequence of having tiles for floors instead of a carpet. Mm-hmm. So, but that's it. I've only ever had to get two other ones. But I think with these, I mean, again, I'm really tempted. I'm really tempted to buy another pair.
Oh, yeah.
just because.
They look good. So,
The more good stuff, the merit.
So what are your thoughts on Skyward Sword? Actually, believe it or not, Skyward Sword is the only modern Zelda game I haven't bought yet. I've never bought. So
Well, I actually have the Wii version still.
Okay.
And while I wasn't able to finish the whole thing, but the amount of time that I was able to spend on it, though, oh my gosh! I mean, you really feel like you're holding Link. You really feel like you're Link in terms of just walking around. Not just walking around, but when he draws his sword, the motion actually follows how you're holding the controller. So how you're holding the controller will determine how Link is holding his sword. So it really gives you more of that feeling of immersion,
right,
which I really like. Sadly, you know, because of other things coming up at the time, I wasn't able to finish it. But it wasn't because I got bored, because believe you me, with the good Zelda games, there is nothing boring about them.
Right.
It was just, you know, life being really busy sometimes, you know, you just other things come up. But having played a bit of the first when it came out, it's really, really awesome.
Yeah,
it's one that I highly recommend.
It's a great story, just that those controls, man, they just didn't work very well. And it kind of killed the experience a little bit. It killed the experience a lot, because, you know, if you can't control the game, if the controls aren't fun, then it's not going to be fun to play. But the fact that I can use a pro controller and just play it that way is making me excited, because they did fix it so that you have to use the opposite, the right stick to tell where your sword is going to slash.
That's true.
But I'm excited for it. I'll definitely pick that bad boy up so that I can finally beat the game, because I got all the way to the end, and then my power went out, and it
the worst.
Yeah, and then I had to go through the entire boss battle again, so I dropped it and said, nope, I'm done. I never beat that. So we'll give it a second chance when it comes out in July. All right, and finally, the other game. Now, just so everyone knows, while we're talking about these, we're only talking about things that we're excited about. If there's anything that we missed or something that you're excited about, wherever you're listening to this on, whether you're listening to this on YouTube or on the sites or wherever you're listening to this, if you want to comment and let us know what you're excited about, we would love to hear it.
Yeah.
We just cherry-picked the things that we would all be excited to talk about. But the last thing we're going to talk about is Splatoon 3. This was a very... very surprising announcement. I was not expecting this announcement, but it's here, and I'm excited. So this is going to be taking place in a brand new location. I don't really consider Splatoon 2 to be a sequel. I consider it more to be just a larger expansion pass, because it essentially was the same game as Splatoon 1, just with a slightly different story mode. But this one looks like it's going to be completely new from the ground up, and I'm excited for it. What about you? I know you're a big Splatoon 2 player.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. If anything, the announcement is only giving me more of a reason to go back and finish the single player modes. Because I also did buy the DLC or the expansion, Octo expansion pack. So I'm definitely, so again, I mean, I actually have been focusing my attention on things like Pikmin 3 and Super Mario 3D Land, which are awesome, by the way, or excuse me, Super Mario 3D World. So, again, more of a reason for me to go back and finish that up and then just have fun in the process, you know, because I don't want to be in such a hurry to finish up Splatoon 2 that I don't enjoy. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. And again, since I didn't really get a chance to play Splatoon 1 at the time, even though I had bought the thing, I do kind of agree that maybe Splatoon 2 was actually more of a redux version of the first film, of the first game. But still, it was a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with the third one.
Yeah, and it looks like it's going to be pretty cool. This, like I said, it's going to take place in a new place. You're going to actually be able to choose between Inkling or Octoling right off the bat. So that's going to be kind of cool. It started off in a desert place, which I thought was kind of neat.
Yeah.
And then went to like a much larger looking city hub world.
And then he had this
last time.
Funky looking chicken fish thing with him.
Yes.
It looked like Hey Hey, only chicken fish.
So, yeah.
It was weird.
Oh my God.
But apparently you're going to have a... Apparently you're going to have a little pet that's going to follow you around, so that'll be interesting. So, Splatoon 3 looks like it's going to be really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, all right, and that's pretty much it for all the games that we're excited about from the Nintendo Direct. Again,
right.
If you want to join in the conversation, wherever you're listening to this podcast, feel free to message us, or if you're listening to this on a podcatcher and you can't message, go to thearcadearchives.com, find this post that this podcast is on, and let us know what you think.
Leave a comment.
Yeah, man.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a look at what we're talking about today. Oh, Game Room Wizards.
Game Room Wizards? Is that a new game?
You haven't heard of Game Room Wizards?
No, I haven't heard of Game Room Wizards.
Oh, my gosh. Haven't you always wanted an arcade cabinet in your house?
Ever since I was like 3 years old.
Well, these guys build arcade cabinets.
What?
Yes. They build basically any size you can think of. A full-size arcade cabinet, you want one, they could build it for you. How about these arcade 1-ups? You like them?
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, the only problem is you only get to play just a few games,
yeah.
Right? Well, imagine having a custom-built arcade 1-up cabinet size with any game you absolutely have ever played on one machine.
What?
Yes, they can do that.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Absolutely.
The Simpsons?
Absolutely.
Stuff like that?
Yes.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
They can do all of it. And the best part that I like the most is they hire local artists to do their artwork.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you could purchase art that looks realistic and make it look as real as possible. Or they have options with local artists to recreate or to modify to make it look completely different, yet similar in a way. And it's all local.
Awesome.
I like that idea the most.
Yeah, well, what if I'm a console gamer, though? I usually play on my Nintendo Switch.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because one of the newest cabinets they have is called a Switcheroo.
Switcheroo? What does that mean?
What it is it's a cabinet you put your Switch into.
What?
You separate the controls, you put the monitor inside the cabinet, and even the header lights up like a real arcade machine.
That sounds amazing.
Yes, and they're quite reasonably priced, I might add.
Okay, and where do I find this magical website?
Well, you're going to go over to the website that I'm going to tell you right now, sir.
Okay.
It's raybrody.wixsite.com. That's WIXSITE.com/GameRoomWizards/, I believe. Game Room Wizards. And you can go there, look at all the cabinets they've built, all the designs they have. They have tons of designs of cabinets you will remember once you see them. And they can build them at any of the sizes mentioned. So that's pretty cool. And you can shoot an email over to GameRoomWizards1981@gmail.com and get a quote on your cabinet right now.
I think I'm going to do this right now. I'm going to get up the website.
Go ahead. Let's do it, man.
There we go.
All right. Game Room Wizards.
But we got more Nintendo stuff to talk about, don't we?
Fantastic! Yeah. I am going to copyright that name. Yes.
So what are we going to talk about next, Ray?
We are going to talk about something we brought up 5 years ago.
5 years ago.
We did a little podcast. I remember the morning. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I got a phone call at about 7 o'clock in the morning from Josh, who let me know that there was an announcement that Universal was opening a Super Nintendo Land. At the time, we had no idea about anything, and we did a podcast, and we threw darts at a dartboard, and I think we probably got about 90% of it wrong, but it was fun, and it got our minds going that what is this thing really going to be? Well, guess what, folks? It opened last week. Super Nintendo World is open right now in Japan, and the rest of us are jealous, and we want to go. But what's been really fun is all the videos that came out, because the week before, all the vloggers got to go over from all over the world, and they got to experience it, and they had an embargo put on them for a week or so that they could not say a word. And then the week of that Monday, just before opening, everybody, the floodgates opened, and there were videos everywhere. And you could pick your flavor, because there was tons of people. And I avoided the ride stuff. I don't know about you guys. I really didn't want to not that I'm going to be able to ride anything in the next few years, but I really didn't. I want to experience that stuff firsthand, but I was more interested in the land itself. We've seen pictures of it being built. But this was unique because now we're walking through it. And I want opinions from everybody as far as the aesthetic. Is this everything you thought it would be when you were a kid playing Super Mario Brothers for the first time? You were going to be able to walk through this one day. Was this what you were expecting?
I think it looks beautiful. Like, the fact that it looks like one of the newer modern 3D Mario games.
Right.
It looks like looks like Super Mario 3D World come to life.
Right.
You know, you have all the Bowser's minions walking back and forth.
Right.
You have clouds going back and forth. You have thwomps everywhere.
Yes.
You have question blocks.
Yep. And we're going to talk about those.
You have I've saw a walkthrough of the. It just looked beautiful. My only complaint about it looks, it looks smaller than even like Galaxy's Edge.
But you have to remember, they are a smaller park.
Yes.
Smaller areas to build.
Yes.
So this is only the first one, and there's an expansion we're going to talk about later on that is happening. Danny, what are your thoughts? What you've seen so far? What do you think, my friend?
I really didn't really know what to expect. I'd always had hoped and dreamed that one day there would be a Nintendo-style theme park. And the fact that Universal got it, and with what they've been able to do so far, and from what I've seen from the videos,
right?
Honestly, this is just the beginning.
Absolutely.
It may be small, but you know what? That's okay, because it allows people to really have even greater expectations in terms of, like, wow, what could be next?
That's right.
You know, because the possibilities are endless. I mean, for all we know, they could. I mean, it's again, you almost don't know what to expect, but in a good way, though.
Right.
And on top of that, the fact that and just being able to walk through the Mushroom Kingdom, just as yourself, and this time not as an avatar, so to speak, but just as yourself, you can't. I mean, that's an experience that really you can't. That's not something you can really replicate, but you have to experience it yourself.
Yeah.
And so just, and not only that, but just being able to walk through either the Mushroom Kingdom and hopefully down the road Hyrule,
right,
or even through the like through a derelict ship, like through the Metroid games, or even being able to walk through a makeshift Inkopolis.
Yep.
You know, and oh my gosh, just imagine for a minute if they actually get around doing something like that. Maybe not necessarily using actual ink per se, but creating like a virtual, like, something that's almost like laser tag, but only, you know, with
and just
working with that. I don't know if you do like augmented reality or like
reality thing. That would happen
with that. And you, oh my gosh, okay, now I'm thinking,
See, that's what happens.
Fantasy Quest with Ride the Comics. And
yeah.
That. Now, imagine for a minute they incorporated that kind of tech, but only, you know, way more improved, way more updated. That, and this time, you guys are actually using, you know, like the ink, the Splatoon weapons, and just going to town on your teammates and all those squid foes and things like that.
But that's what they're using. They're using that technology in the Mario Kart ride. That's exactly what they're doing. It's augmented reality. It's funny because that's the only ride I've seen video of. And we'll talk about it in a minute because it's very interesting. But one thing I wanted to point out that Josh and I talked about earlier, because we kind of went over a lot of stuff before we recorded, all the things that Universal did in Japan with all the anime properties and the way they handled them, I really think was what turned the tide, and that's how Universal got the Nintendo license to begin with. Because I think Nintendo looked at that and said, well, you've got Japanese culture down. You've got Japanese anime down. You guys are the ones that could handle Nintendo. Because most parks, let's face it, most parks would change it to make it part of them. Whereas Universal just said, hey, no, we're embracing you. This is what this is. We're not going to change it. We're not going to augment it. We're going to make it as real as people think it could be, and walk through it. And that's what they've done. And I'm going to go over a list of the things, and then we're going to talk about a little bit about the videos that we've seen, and kind of compare and contrast what we had talked about 5 years ago and what we got right and wrong, and we'll go from there. So these are the things you'll find at a Super Nintendo Land right now. The attractions, you've got Mario Kart Koopa's Challenge. This is an interactive dark ride featuring augmented reality based on the Mario Kart franchise. Now, this ride I have seen in video.
I have seen too.
Okay, and what's really cool is you don't have to wear the goggles. There's things to see without it, but it enhances it. Now, what this reminds me of a lot, because a lot of people felt like it was going to be a fast ride, this and the other thing, and I said, to me, no, this is going to be a dark ride. It's very similar to the Amazing Spider-Man ride at Universal. Men in Black. It moves fast, but it doesn't move that fast. It has a lot of props. It has a lot of video. But it's all purposefully put together in a way that, it works. It looks really cool. And there's a lot of speed involved just through the screen.
Right.
Stuff.
I, to be honest, I'm a little disappointed with it.
Really?
Because when I saw it, I was like, oh... When I saw the vehicles, I was like, it kind of looks like the Men in Black vehicles.
Yeah.
And then I saw the ride, and I was a little... I mean, I guess I have to be there, but I was a little... I was a little underwhelmed, especially since all you do is just go around and you get turtle shells and you shoot them at the other Koopa... because you're on Team Mario.
Right.
And you have to try to beat Team Koopa, and you're, like, knocking out Koopa and his Koopalings... off their carts and stuff like that, just by shooting.
But this is new. I mean, it's a new thing, and I think it'll change as time goes on.
Yeah, but just I don't know. I was hoping for a little bit more. I was hoping for I don't know. Maybe an actual cart thing where you fought each other.
That's what people thought at first, and I think people will be disappointed in one respect, but then they're going to understand why in another.
Right.
Because visually, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, like...
Visually, it's amazing.
I say probably the best part of the video, that for me anyways, was the queue. They had a huge queue, and you go in through Bowser's Castle, and the first thing you do is you go up these stairs, and you actually see a giant statue of Bowser.
Yep.
In like a courtyard area.
Yeah.
And then you walk past, and as you're going through, you can actually see like doors and stuff that are like Bowser sized.
Yep.
And then you also see like trophies from the various Mario Kart games. And then as you get in deeper into the castle, then it starts to look like the film crews have taken over parts of the castle. There's like a film truck, and there's like a place for like interviews and stuff like that all over. And then you see like various Mario Kart weapons, you know, all the items that you get in the game.
Yeah.
And then you get into another part of the castle, and you get to see Bowser actually making the bombs, those little weird wind-up Bowser. Those little Bowser things from Super Mario World. And then, what was the other one? Chain Chomps. And you can actually see them actually making these, and as you go through the queue from that point on, you can actually see different parts of them making it.
Right.
But my favorite part of the queue was you get to go through Bowser's library, and in the library there's like a, it's like the command center, I guess, for Team Koopa.
Yeah.
And you get to see his different plans, and it was all in English, which I thought was kind of funny. So there's like different plans, and there's a couple of favorite things that I love, like the fact that it said beat them or else.
Yep.
On the shelves, there's books on the shelves, and they actually had English titles. One of my favorites being Sibling Rivalries and How to Exploit Them. World Domination for Dummies, and and then you get to see a giant Bowser throne with like pictures of Peach all over the place. And then at some point booze will pop up in different parts of the library, which I thought was really neat. So like the queue line, beautiful. Like the ride, I don't know. Like I said, I had to kind of see it in real life a little bit, but from the video that I watched, it was a little bit underwhelming.
Okay. I think the reason for that is they could have gone with, like, we were looking at videos earlier, and they had that one roller coaster with the virtual reality helmet.
Yes.
They could have done that.
Yeah.
But the problem is you're not going to be able to get everybody on that ride, because now you've hit a height limit thing and an age limit thing. So you had to build a ride that would kind of allow everybody to go on and everybody to experience. And we don't really know if it feels like you're going fast, slow, or otherwise. I'm assuming, because the video that they were showing, it looked like you're going at a good clip on the video. Like, so it probably simulates fast movement.
Right.
And they, you know, those rides at Universal are very popular. Look at Men in Black's been around over 20 years, and it's still one of the number one rides at the parks.
Yeah.
Same thing with Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
One of the, and it held that title for like 10 years. Amazing Spider-Man, number one ride in Orlando. So obviously, they went where their strengths are.
Right.
So that I agree with. The other thing I really liked is the video that they play throughout. Like you were saying, this video is superimposed. And that is a key factor throughout a lot of the buildings in Super Nintendo World, which we were going to touch base on in a few minutes. It's really fascinating stuff. So that is Mario Kart Koopa's Challenge. I liked it. Meh for you.
I'm still on the fence.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm still on the fence.
So the next one... And there's only two rides in the land right now, but there's going to be more. The other one is Yoshi's Adventure. It's an Omnimover ride.
Yes.
And you're going... It's basically like Super Mario World 2.
Yeah.
You're going around trying to get Baby Mario. This is the kids' ride. This is the slow kids' ride.
I don't know if I would actually ride this ride. Not because it looks scary or anything, but just because from the video that I watched... It looked like it was going so slow. I was sitting there, and I actually had to fast forward because I'm like, "Come on,
that's
just
the thing.
Go,
you gotta remember,
go."
Hey, Disney started with these rides,
right?
You got to think about that. And then, if you're doing a kids' area, you got to have a dark ride for kids. And this this fits the bill. And if you're gonna do something Yoshi, this is the way you're gonna do it.
I was really happy though because
that's very true.
I'm really happy though because Captain Toad makes a cameo in the
ride. Yes, he does.
So happy, Captain Toad.
But that's a key ride because it is for kids and families, so that's fun. Okay, so that's the two attractions that they have right now. But the third one is very reminiscent of something we just lost in Magic Kingdom, which I'm very sad about, and that's Sorcerer's of the Magic Kingdom. Rest in peace, because we'll all miss you. And that is the power-up band key challenges, okay? So basically, you're going to be able to buy a basically what looks like a magic band or a wristwatch, and when you interact with certain objects within the world, they will in turn react with you and give you things that you can use later on as an amiibo on your Switch at home, which is really, really cool.
But
that's worth the price of admission, in my opinion.
But also, you can. There's three hidden keys throughout the park.
Yep.
If you get all three keys, you get to go in essentially a boss fight against Bowser Jr.
Yes, which is really, really cool. But there was like one scene where there was a Koopa shell going back and forth, and you had to hit a question block that would hit a POW block that would then send that up and hit some Goombas that were up above. That was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but
that was
worth the price of admission. There's all kinds of hidden things. It's a lot of fun. I'm really excited. I was excited when they announced that part alone, because I guess as I've gotten older, it's not just about rides. It's about interactivity. It's about theming, walking around and experiencing new things. And I think that's what I really appreciate about Sorcerers, is the fact that it was this really cute thing that you could get cards every time you went to the park and interact and try to defeat all the bad guys using different powers.
Yeah.
That's what this is. On a different level.
And there's going to be an online app that'll keep track of your score, your coins, your power-ups.
Wow.
It'll actually play a game of Super Mario Brothers as you're playing, and Mario will punch a block when you punch a block.
Yeah.
You got to admit, that's worth the price.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like,
that's it.
Like, that alone is awesome.
Yep.
Like, just that alone, the merchandise, the only other thing I'm really disappointed about...
Oh, here we go.
The only other thing I'm really... It's a small nitpick. It is a small nitpick, okay? So the entrance of Super Mario World, you go through a pipe, a little warp pipe, and then you come out of Peach's Castle, but then you just walk right out of Peach's Castle, and there's hardly anything there. And I was like, no! Please, I just wanted to run around Peach's Castle like I was in Mario 64. Like, I would pay admission for that. I would pay for an annual pass to run around.
Here's the thing. They did put a lot of nods to Super Mario 64.
Yeah, they have the giant paintings on the wall. Yeah.
And then you walk outside and who's off to the right? Princess Peach is sitting there.
Since you came up with, can we talk about the awesome characters there?
So let's talk about this. We're going to step back for a moment. So go on the website. I have a new series called Super Mario World News. I try to update it once a week pertaining to things that we are learning and videos that might show things. One of the, I think it was the second one in the series, was about the costumes. And this is everything that Disney did 10 years ago on the same level. I mean, it is amazing. The characters talk. The characters blink.
Yes.
They interact with you. They talk.
And they speak English.
They speak English. It is amazing.
Yeah.
And it's our friend who's been voicing Mario forever.
Charles Martinet.
That's right, man. I'm just like, how? This is a winner. Winner, Super Mario dinner, man. Forget it. This is it. Yeah. This is what we wanted.
I will say that the Princess Peach looks so good.
Oh yeah.
I was like, is that a statue? Nope, that's not a statue. That's
for real.
That's for real.
And how about we have to talk about Toad?
Oh no, let's not talk about Toad.
Toad is amazing. He harkens back to the old Winnie the Pooh costumes of Magic Kingdom, where the handler's head was in the honey pot.
It looked so cool. It looks like somebody took a Toad and stretched him like Silly Putty.
It's so cool. I love it. So the characters are amazing.
Yes.
And like I said, this is the very beginning. So this is going to expand as time goes on, because there are some things later on we're going to talk about. So let's talk about the dining and shopping.
Oh my gosh.
Number one is the 1-Up Factory.
Yes.
Now, in the last episode of Super Nintendo World News, there was a gentleman, I don't know his name right now, he moved to Japan for Asian theme parks. That's all he does. And he did, I'm not kidding you, and basically a one-hour walkthrough of this building and showed every single item that was available to buy right now. It was the greatest video I've ever seen of a store in a theme park. It is amazing. Do you have his name yet? No, he's working on it. Great guy. Follow him on YouTube. I do now. He is really, really cool. But he goes over they're really fascinated with like little cookies, little candies, It is really, really, really cool stuff.
It's TDRE Explorer. TDR Explorer.
Yes, TDR Explorer. Great guy. Follows channel. It's amazing. I've been looking at his videos. It's really, really cool.
I'm going to say, man, that merch looks gorgeous. Like, I saw I didn't see the stuff that was in the land yet. I saw just the stuff that's outside that they're selling, you know, because they usually have like a store that has like all the merchandise you can buy in the park.
Right.
Just that merchandise alone made me go, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know,
it was amazing the stuff they had.
They have a real version of Yoshi's cookie.
Yes.
They have a real version of it. It's an actual cookie.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And they, like I said, they're really big into cookies. Like everything sold had cookies in it. I swear it did. It was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. Popcorn.
Yes.
Mickey Mouse Rescue Treats. What are those?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But that was worth the price of admission. Go watch that video. It's on the site right now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There was Mario Motors. Now, I don't know much about this. Did we see anything on this yet?
I haven't. No.
It might not be open yet. Then there's I'm going to mispronounce this. Kinopio's Cafe.
It's basically Toad. That's
Tell you, this is where the interactive screens come into play.
Oh, yes.
It is very cool because you're actually watching the Toads in their kitchen making your food. And that was cool. That was really, really cool. Now, honestly, I want to go to Japan. It's beautiful. And who wouldn't want to go? I won't eat a thing. There is nothing in Japan that I will eat.
But wait a minute. Well, don't you want to eat the Mario burger?
I'll eat the burger part, not all the
Have you
junk
seen that
on
Mario
it?
Burger?
I love the look of the Mario burger.
I love the look of the Mario burger because they took a burger, they put a Mario hat on it, they put a mushroom and where the nose would be, and they have bacon as the mustache.
Yes.
And
that's really cool. It is
so good.
It looks amazing inside. That was really cool. And then they also have Pit Stop Popcorn, which obviously is over near the Mario Kart attraction, and then Yoshi's Snack Island, which is near the Yoshi.
Which, for some reason, has mushroom-flavored popcorn?
Ooh. Well, you know, it's one of those
mushroom-flavored
things.
Mushroom-flavored popcorn.
Okay. So, we're going to now hit what we think is coming and has been rumored for a while, and that is the Donkey Kong expansion. They are going to be doing a Donkey Kong ride. We think it's going to be a minecart style, probably a roller coaster. This is probably going to be the thrill ride of the area. It had leaked around November, late November. It was leaked online. There was some images taken, maps drawn with this attraction in it. Now, we do know that it will be coming here, which, by the way, folks, when Shigeru Miyamoto walked through the park,
he was a proud papa.
He was
video.
A proud papa. Let me tell you, that's what I had tears in my eyes for that man. So here's the thing: here in Orlando, they've stopped work on Epic Universe. It literally is a pile of dirt with some roads on it. That's it. Nothing has been done because of COVID. They have not moved forward. So we were worried that maybe ours is going to be canceled. And they have started work in Hollywood already. So theirs is going to open next. We were supposed to be next, but now they are. Because they're closed. Literally, there's nobody there right now, so that's why they're doing that. But at the end of the video, Mr. Miyamoto looked at the screen and basically said, don't worry if you don't live in Japan. It's coming to Orlando and California. So we have it coming. Okay.
Oh, we got it coming.
We got it coming, all right. Now, it might not be here till 2024, is what I'm thinking, but it is coming. Now, one of the rides that we definitely were looking at was this Donkey Kong ride. It is a roller coaster. It is based on the mine car part of what we know.
Oh, I always hated those levels.
The mine car part of Donkey Kong. Minecraft. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Gosh.
So it is part of that.
If you fall off the roller coaster, do you have to...
I'm thinking if you miss that joke, you're done. It's all over. You know?
Yeah.
Think about it, man. You can free up a lot of rooms at the hotel. It's all over. Hey, you want to stay here tonight? Not a problem. We got an opening. So, yeah, that is definitely coming. Now, let's take a step back and talk about what we got wrong. Because right off the bat, I have to say, 5 years ago, I thought we would literally have Mario and Luigi walking around our parks already. That did not happen at all.
No. The only thing that the Orlando parks got was in one of the stores in Universal, you can see a Hyrulean shield and the Master Sword.
Okay.
In one of the display cases, all but right. That's about it.
Woo! We got that. Well, that leads us into another rumor that popped up again this past week, that forget what the land is called now, but it's over at Islands of Adventure, that opened with the park, and a part of it was converted for Harry Potter, but there's a small section left, and rumor has it that will be where Zelda is. So you're going to have a Legend of Zelda area at IOA. And the other rumor that's been floating around forever is Pokemon at the original park itself. Given that Barney is closed, as of 2 weeks ago they announced that. So that's gone. I can't think of the name of the kids area that's over there with the Fievel Mouse, that's 30 years old. It looks terrible, so that's going to go. So there's a really good possibility with them having the Nintendo license, in my opinion. And it would be a quick fix, since you already have the Nintendo license to open a Pokemon and or a Zelda-themed area within these two parks. And that would whet the appetites and get people ready and excited for Epic Universe when it opens, and I am excited. I'm already in line for that area. Between that and the Universal Monster stuff, that's it. I'm good. I'll stay right over there in that park forever.
I'm in line for the Pokemon. I want the Pokemon.
And I know that they've been talking about, that's been the rumor mill for years. That one kind of waned a little bit, but then, like I said, last week all of a sudden there was rumors of Zelda over at IOA again. And that makes sense because, again, you have this area that's over 20 years old now, kind of hidden in the corner, and nobody's really staying there because you're going to Harry Potter.
Right.
So why wouldn't you level that and turn it into Zelda? That solves that problem. And then you have this 30-year-old area at the old park that would be Pokemon. So those are the two rumors that are going on between those two parks. And that, my friends, I think, is all the news that I have, unless anybody else has anything else to say.
No, I don't think so. What about you, Danny?
Nope. None whatsoever on my end. I'm good.
So, is everybody excited for this, though? Really?
Oh, yes.
I'm already in line. I really am.
Yeah,
I've got
it's not even a question. For me, I'm like, look, just let me know when I can get my annual pass and I'll go, because honestly, this is big. I mean, this is something we as kids have been wanting to see, and now it's finally happening. Granted, true, it's on the other side of the Pacific, but the fact that Mr. Miyamoto actually said that yes, it will come, you know, on this other side of the Pacific, then that alone is like, okay, it's going to be worth the wait. It's going to be worth the wait.
Absolutely.
For me, hey, and you know what? If everything goes well, hopefully the three of us will be able to. Ideally, what I would like is for all three of us, you know, to go and check it out and really just kind of like, you know. You know, do a live stream or like.
Oh, absolutely! Hopefully, by then we're up to a million subscribers and we're making gobs of money, and people are listening to every word we say. That would be awesome.
But still, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, we were excited then. I'm just as excited. I haven't lost the excitement.
Yeah, no,
I have been like, when does this happen? Come on, let's get going already.
Yeah.
And then like last year, it was the year before when they announced Epic Universe and they started showing the map and, you know, all the things that are going to be over in that park. I was like, this is going to be amazing. And the, I mean, the word, you know, the rumor mill will always go, you know, that this is a game changer for Universal, and that's why, you know, Disney may have to step their game up, this, that, and the other thing. In my opinion, and this is my opinion, there's enough room for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
There was a story I told on that podcast long ago about the day the Universal character showed up at the Magic Kingdom, and for one moment that day, you could take pictures with Mickey Mouse and Marilyn Monroe standing right next to each other. Because, of course, Disney didn't want to, they had to save face. I mean, here you have these Universal characters standing right out in front of Magic Kingdom. What are you going to do? So that itself shows you that there is room for for everything here. And once this virus has been dealt with in a proper fashion, I cannot wait for everything to start happening again and these expansions to happen. And we're going to be there, all three of us, and anybody else who wants to join us, of course, will be there for everything Nintendo related. I'm very excited about this. Have been since day one. So it's very exciting. Keep following the Super Nintendo World news on the site. Hopefully I'll have an update tomorrow on that. And that's it, guys. I think our Super Nintendo-tastic episode...
Nintendo-tastic episode.
Yeah, is over. Anything anybody would like to finish on?
No, I'm good, Danny.
Nope, all set here. My gosh, guys. I mean, actually talking to you guys about this is actually getting me worked up in a good way.
Yes.
You know, it's you know, I mean, and I have to admit, I mean, with the virus and everything else, it's like, things have been kind of a little bit on a, not a downer, but things have been a little bit on a kind of normal thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and unfortunately, this is not a virus you can throw, you know, vitamin capsules at, you know, match up the colors and that's it. No. But then again, that would be nice. But still, I mean, just being able to talk to you guys about this. I mean, even right now, you know, I'm getting jazzed up. I'm really getting.
I'm going home to play my Switch. I'm ready to go home and play my Switch.
I'm ready to go home. Yeah. I'm ready to go home and start playing Super Mario 3D World again.
Oh, and yep. One more thing. Please give us a Luigi's Mansion ride. Come on.
Oh, man.
Come on. You want to talk about it?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's do this. Let's do this.
Especially for Halloween.
Let's do
now,
this.
Now, imagine that. Halloween, you know, like, you know how Disney had their Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween? I mean, imagine Nintendo World doing their own version of that.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Let's do this real quick, okay? like, very small, very, very quick things. Real quick, what is your dream Nintendo ride that you'd like to see?
Can I start?
Yes, go.
Okay, great. Luigi's Mansion. You could do that because you already have Men in Black. You could do a Luigi's Mansion style ride in a Men in Black style vehicle, or even a Spider-Man vehicle. And gosh darn it, have Stanley Budman walking around the park already. That poor guy's been around since 1983. You know, he needs to work. You want to put him in Smash Brothers? At least put him in the park, for crying out loud.
Yeah, you know what? I think you might be onto something there. I mean, imagine for a minute to actually do like a Donkey Kong, along with the Donkey Kong expansion, beyond doing the Donkey Kong Country stuff, but they also do like a harking back to like his original arcade days.
Right.
And not just, you know, with the first two titles, but with Donkey Kong 3, and then all of a sudden you see a guy named Stanley the Bugman walking around saying, hey, how's it going?
I would love it. I'm ready. I'm ready to make it happen. That and of course my icon that I use is from a very obscure Nintendo game that most people don't remember, and that's Urban Champion. Have the Urban Champion guy in Smash Brothers crying out loud. It's a fire! Crying out loud! But anyway, yeah, those are two things. And just a shameless plug, I work at a place called Game Time, and we do have the Luigi's Mansion game.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, come on over and play that sometimes. That's fun.
Yeah. So, Danny, what's your dream ride at Super Nintendo World?
Oh my gosh. You know, one of them has already been announced, the Mario Kart.
It's not announced, it's there. It's not announced, it's there.
Besides that, as well as the Donkey Kong and Mario Kart thing, that's another one. I think probably the only other one I can think of would probably be a Metroid-type attraction. And I think it would probably be one where you would be put behind the cockpit of Samus's ship.
Okay.
And you got to go after the Zebesian, the space pirates.
Huh?
You know, and it's sort of like a... I mean, but then again, maybe that might be a little bit too close to Star Wars in terms of the action.
Yeah.
But something around those lines. Or something, like a Metroid-type attraction.
How about Kid Icarus?
I don't know.
Yeah. Kid Icarus! How about play that music in the park? How about that music? We're going to play that music in the background, like right here, so everybody gets that nostalgic vibe for Kid Icarus, because that music was the bomb.
All right, you kids. Now, here's Joshua, and here's his thoughts, all right? I would definitely love a Hyrule area. I would like a really cool Zelda-esque dark ride.
Yes.
Maybe something along the lines of Rise of the Resistance. That would be so cool.
Yes.
I would definitely love that. And then I was thinking, like, you could have Hyrule Castle, and then maybe the courtyard outside could be kind of like in Ocarina of Time, where you could sneak around the guards and stuff like that. You don't have any guards or anything, but just like have it like a little labyrinth, little maze there that you can walk through. That would be really cool. Maybe even at the end of the maze, you have the courtyard where Link and Zelda first meet in Ocarina of Time. That would be really cool.
Well, it's funny because what they're talking about is over at IOA is Poseidon's Fury,
Yeah. Which
has been there forever, and the numbers are not there, and they've already closed the show next door, which was the Sinbad show. That would be the perfect spot because you could build the castle right there. And man, imagine a ride where you're following Link on his adventures and you're watching kind of like Indiana Jones,
Yeah. Where
you're just following him and he's doing stuff and he's breaking
the pots. Yeah.
To get
breaking the pots.
His rupees. He's got a rupee addiction.
Oh boy, that rupees. So yeah, that would be my dream, is a Hyrule area with Hyrule Castle. And to be honest, just like I said before, I just want a giant Peach's castle that I can run around like in Mario 64. If they just built a real replica of Peach's castle that I can run around in, you got my money.
Giant, hold on.
Annual pass.
Giant Peach's castle to run around. Okay, we got it coming.
I would just
go around. I'm setting it right now.
I'm going out with my arms out like, woohoo!
Woohoo!
Do my triple jump and everything.
Oh.
Hey. Woohoo!
Hey, what about Wario? Wario gets no love. How about Wario in the park? Let's have a Wario camera.
Gosh.
Have a rotten day. That's all we need right there, man.
All right. I think it's about time to end this little shindig.
Yes.
So thank you guys so much for joining us for the Electric Circus podcast. Again, we are part of thearcadearchives.com.
Yes.
And you can find us there. If you haven't joined us already, we have lots of geek-tastic articles. We have podcasts. We have webcomics. We have videos. All about all the stuff that you guys out there care about, your video games, your movies, your shows, your comic books, your anime. We talk about it all there.
All that and a can of SpaghettiOs.
That's right. So we're also got your nostalgia covered as well. So
that's right.
If you like nostalgia.
Because I'm old.
That's right. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Find us on the Arcade Archives. You can also find our official Arcade Archives Instagram page at The Arcade Archives on Instagram. If you'd like to find us on Facebook, just search The Arcade Archives. You'll find us there on Facebook as well. On Twitter, we're Arcade A Network, and it's Arcade A Network. Let's go over where they can find us on the social medias.
Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead? All right.
Yes, I'm going to let you handle it because I'm over 50 and I don't remember a lot.
So you can find me on both Twitter and Instagram at ubernerd527. Again, that's ubernerd, UBERNERD 527. You can also find me on Sunday nights on Twitch, twitch.tv/ubernerd527. For Sunday night streaming, we stream all kinds of cool video games. This week, as of the recording of this podcast, we're going to be trying to finish up a Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity storyline. And then from then on, we're going to be playing Super Mario 3D World. We're going to beat Bowser's Fury, which, by the way, oh my gosh, that game is amazing. Bowser's Fury is awesome.
It really is.
It may actually take the cake from Super Mario 3D World. Which is another fun game, but I don't know. I kind of like Bowser's Fury a little bit. A little bit more. So find us on there.
What about you, Danny? Can they reach you anywhere?
Yes. Can they reach you?
Yes. You can find me over on Twitter under the handle at UltraSNCPLYR9. You can also find me over on Instagram as well under the pen name Ultrasonic9. And I'm also on fanfiction.net under the name Ultrasonic. So you can check me out any one of those ways. And so just come on over, see what stories I've written, and come on over and enjoy.
Exactly. And you can reach me at the website because I live there. I have a small area in the corner with a hammock. So you can reach me. What's our emails and stuff?
We have the Arcade Archives email at gmail.com.
Right.
Is where you can find us there. But you could also message us on the site or on Facebook if you want to message us on Facebook or Instagram as well. Or Twitter. You can join us on all three of those platforms and message us through there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So feel free. Well, listen, guys, I think we should wrap this one up. We are at the hour and 12-minute mark, so I think we've made our point.
Yes, we have made it. We have posted it.
Yes.
We have put a flag on top of it.
I think we killed it.
We have climbed up. We have climbed up the stairs. We have jumped on top of the flagpole and brought the flag back.
We got in that booth from Super Mario Brothers 3. We stomped on it.
That's right.
It's done. So I think that's it.
All right.
So okay, from all of us here at the Electric Circus, the Arcade Archives, and anywhere else you can find us, you have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful evening. Thanks for stopping by, and we'll catch you on the flip-flop. Keep playing like it's 1981. We'll see you later. Bye!
Bye!
Hey, Arcaders, this is Ray Gunn from the Arcade Archives Network. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast that you're listening to. If you're listening on iTunes, please give it 5 stars. A lot of time and patience go into every podcast we do. 5-star ratings help us so we can continue giving you this quality entertainment every month. And don't forget to share us with your friends. If you're listening to us on YouTube, please give us a like and subscribe to our channel. And if you're over on our Facebook page, please like and share. Once again, we do this for you guys and we enjoy doing it every single month. So every little bit helps. So please go online and like us today. Thanks. Keep playing like it's 1981, and I'll talk to you guys later. Bye now.
The Electric Circus is a part of the Arcade Archives Network and is produced by What's This Button Do Productions. Hey, guys, what's this button do?
That's what the button does.
The Electric Circus is a part of the Arcade Archives Network.
With assistance from...
Rebellion Productions.